Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Darby and Dan Schreiber.
Well, stiffen my carcass and cover me in moss. Throw me into the jungle with an elegant toss. There I shall remain for 1,000 years. But then suddenly two dweebs go bushwalking and Bob's your auntie, we're back!
Okay. All right, let's unpick that one a bit. Yeah. So you're dead. It's 1,000 years.
And two dweebs. Who's the dweebs?
I think you guys are the dweebs there. I've been found in the bush. It's fairly obvious. You don't need to unpack it. I think my point was there is that
so obvious.
I will live forever, whether I'm a human or a piece of wood, anything with atoms in it, I can come back. And I think we all can. I think we return many, 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 many times. Oh, God, it's too early for this. Can we just get on with the bloody show?
But just in the specific one, you are dead in this. Have you come back as a dead guy? Is that what you've come back as? That's a terrible reincarnation. He's been reincarnated as a dead man. That was a quick one. Who organized that? Buttons sorted your reincarnation on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I accidentally sent you to an already dead guy. Actually, I sent you back to yourself. Whoops. In a constant loop of reincarnation back to yourself.
I just hope that, you know, you guys do implement the weekend at Darby's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Darby's dweebs. We're the dweebs who take you around.
At least you're alive.
Yeah.
In 1,000 years as well.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
So you've come back quite a few times. and you're wondering where I am, and you've discovered something in the bush, and you go, God, that's a bloody Darby, isn't it?
No, it's a log.
It looks just like him. Look at that face on it.
No, it's just a weird shape on the log.
Well, I think it could be him. I think we should just take him back. This is him. Set him up with a mic.
And we're back. I love how in that whole thing you're basically saying that you're immortal.
Yeah.
Which I kind of believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
If anybody is Highlander, it's you.
But let's just say we do come back every time, and I think it's an interesting idea that we end up searching for each other every time. And I was speaking to someone over the weekend whilst I was in Sydney, this lady, Melissa, who really believes in past lives and says that we come back, you know, time and time again. Because I asked her, you know, do we hang out with the same people? And she said, yeah, we have the same people every time that are in our close circle.
Yeah.
So no matter who they are the same energy sources. And so that was really comforting.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because I often wonder, you know, if we come back for the next life, what are my friends going to be like or whatever? And she said, they're going to be the same people.
That's amazing.
So that's interesting.
That is. I think I told you guys this on the podcast already, but about my parents having to go over to their friend's house to unfriend someone on Facebook.
No.
Because she didn't know how to. So we have a friend in Avalon in Sydney, and this is actually in the introduction of my book, out October 13th. And
what was the date?
October 13th.
October 30th.
What's the name of the book again?
Theory of Everything Else. It's sort of a collection of weird, crazy theories and ideas and claims. Yeah, it's pretty good. And in the introduction, which is great, by the way, there's this true story, which my parents, I was talking to them on Zoom one day, and they said, we had to go over to our friend's house because she called us up and said, I need to unfriend someone on Facebook, but I don't know how. Can you come over and unfriend them for me?
Oh, gosh.
So my parents were like, okay, sure. So they got in the car, brought a bottle of wine. They thought, we'll hang out for a while. Get there. They're unfriending. They're showing her. So this is how you do it. And they said, why are you unfriending her? And she said, because I had a session recently about a past life regression thing where I was told about my past life. And I was informed that this person in a previous life in ancient Egypt poisoned and murdered me.
So I don't
want to be friends with her on Facebook in this life if that's what she did to me in a previous one.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's why she was unfriended.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they reveal it was your mum who poisoned. She's trying to unfriend your mum. Can you come and help me unfriend? It's like, so you're the only one I know that's good with technology and with poison, funnily enough. It's strange how your mum is a poison expert. Yeah, have a glass of wine. I made it specially. Here you go.
I can't believe she asked my mum to do it. She's no computer know-how whatsoever. The only email I got from her, which was like a paragraph long, ended with her saying, got to go now. My finger's really tired. She's literally... with one finger typing everything. Yeah,
oh my god.
Anyway, but that's the point is that shows in that story that you do have the old gang that come forward with you, even the enemies maybe.
That's what I was thinking. Even the enemies are the same, which is really great. And it makes sense, but you know, if you think about your own little world and it's the people that you're in contact with, the goodies, the baddies, they never really leave your life. You know, even the ones that you don't talk to anymore, they do pop up on occasion or you hear something about them. So we're all living in a small encased globe.
Yeah.
Really? Encased in what?
Well, I think most globes are encased, but these ones that we're in, you can see through. They're plastic.
Right, gotcha. Like snow globes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I want a little Darby wisdom book, like a little just one nugget per page. Really stylishly done.
I also want a snow globe now with the three of us in there, but in multiple different previous lives of how all three of us were friends in previous lives.
Well, I said to this lady who's, you know, who is very connected, she's an empath and all the rest of it and soothsayer or whatever, and I said to her, you know, with regards to the past life thing, I said, well, I think I was definitely a king or a high-ranking prince of some sort, and she just laughed her head off. And I said, well, hang on a second, why are you laughing like that, you know? And because she doesn't know me that well, she just sort of laughed and said, yeah, okay, good one mate. And I'm like, well, come on, you believe in all of this stuff. Why is...
And then she said, no, mate, that was your mate Buttons. He was the king of all kings. You were the court jester. Oh, your mate Buttons.
You're just lucky, based on last week, that you even got to ride a horse, okay? That was the high point of your past life. Probably testing them at the stables before I came down and, you know, got on them.
Oh, they're all good here, sir. I've checked out this one. It's got a really good rump.
All right, well, as long as it's comfortable.
I've warmed them up for you, Mr. Davies. They're really
good. Here's a really weird thing that was just mentioned in passing. Nostradamus is responsible for the reason that we have snow globes.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
How?
He was also a scientist, and he is responsible for a certain chemical that he identified, which then got synthesized and used and made it all the way down the line to being used as one of the main things for snow globes. So Nostradamus is the reason that we have snow globes. And if you want to read more about that, October 13th, The Theory of Everything Else, has a fantastic chapter.
We might as well just change the name of the Cryptid Factor to the Theory of Everything Else podcast, formerly known as.
I was going to bring that up, so I'm glad you got there before me. By the way, just while we're talking about that, I got my Rumpology report, my book reading report.
Yes.
Yeah. What happened?
So part one of my reading is her having just looked at the picture of my bottom in boxers. And done a reading, and then she's been trying to get in contact with me, but I've been away in Italy for her to do a sort of on the phone reading, a deeper reading. So
it sounds so wrong. We're talking about your butt. Now I'm going to do a deeper reading into your butt. Now I've done the surface reading.
I'm going to need to get closer in, I'm afraid. So I've booked us a restaurant.
One of the shocking things for me is Fenella, my wife, and my mum has even always said, "You don't really have an ass," to me. And I'm like, right. I look around, I'm like, "I've got an ass." And then when I looked at this photo, I was like, "I don't have a butt. There's no ass.
There's no cushioning there at all." That's an issue with a lot of guys. This is not much there.
So crazy. So here we go. Hi, Dan. Here is part one of your reading. Looking at the shape of your bottom, you have a full square bottom, which means you're creative, outgoing, and hardworking. The energy around your bottom tells me you're a risk taker, and it's paid off very well so far. I feel you're close to your family. There's a celebration come September. There's a special lady in your life. She's very grounded, and I feel your rock. I see children around you. You seem to be having a declutter. So this is all kind of... So let's get into the left cheek. The left cheek, I thought, was the past life stuff, but she's reading other stuff in my left cheek. Your left cheek tells me you've been worried about someone, maybe a friend, but I feel he's going to be okay. That's kind of true. I have been worried about a friend.
Oh.
I see a hospital visit, but all will be well, which is interesting because just yesterday my father went into hospital and he's okay, fortunately, but like that kind of plays into it. I've got the name Joshua around you. Important work contact to come. That's exciting.
Someone Joshua! If there's a Joshua around there, now's your time to hit stripes
up.
Interesting.
Wow.
I've got a great grandmother energy around you in spirit on your mum's side. I don't know if she means she's got a great grandmother or my great grandmother. Yeah, I can't quite tell from her language. I see two books wrote by you.
What?
Ooh.
Two books, yeah.
There we go.
There we go. Sequel to The Theory of Everything
Else. Just when you thought it was all over, you'll be straight back into it again.
Yeah. I keep getting the name Jack in spirit. He seems to be a relative. Well, that was Fenella's grandfather's name. He sends his love to you, but I don't know him. That's kind of it. Okay. I mean, there's not really much, but I guess she was looking at a no-assed guy in boxer shorts, so...
Yeah, that's a lot to basically look through some material with a thing that's literally got no shape to it. You sure she's just not getting that from the boxer shorts? I mean, who's were those boxer shorts before you wore them?
Jack's. They were Jack's boxer shorts.
Are they Joshua's? Hey, listen, mate, I need those undies back. You don't know me, but I'm a grandson of Jack. He sends us love, by the way, but...
it'd be probably more likely that they were Manella's great-grandmother's boxes. That would be more likely.
That's it. No wonder. Yeah, they were a bit frilly.
I just feel for that arsologist.
Yeah.
Because imagine just walking around the supermarket or the shopping mall and you'd be seeing all of this intel and information.
Because if
you can get all of this information, if that is actually what's happening with her, it'd be so hard not to walk up to people and go, "Look, I'm so sorry, you're wearing quite tight jeans, and I could read from that you really should go to the doctor." I read there's a hospital visit, a guy called Gary is going to be your doctor.
You should go to the police station. I think you should go to the police station because I've seen you perving at me and all my friends. We were just trying to do our shopping. Okay, stop reading our asses and get a life, mate.
I can't help it. All right, I can't help it. Okay, can I just inquire, are those your undies or have they been passed on? Because I've got to say, looks like you're going to win a Pulitzer surprise.
That's a surprise. And the winner of this year's Pulitzer Surprise is that guy. Oh, I've done nothing special. Exactly. Surprise.
Well, this is a real shock. I mean, honestly.
I'm just a plumber.
I don't even remember entering it.
You didn't. That's the whole surprise. Now, I'm going to need those undies back because we're going to have to give those to someone else and they're going to get the shock of their lives next year.
Surprise. that's really exciting that you actually got a reading back. I was worried that you were just sending $600 off into nowhere land.
Yeah, I've still got the phone call, so I might try and record it. And if anything interesting comes out, we can play it on the episode.
Yeah, get the deeper meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Oh, that's cool. And at least, you know, my worry with doing any of these things, including tarot and all the rest of it, hang on, that's a vegetable, isn't it? is that, you know, you're going to get something negative or you're going to get something that is frightening. And I think that is what puts a lot of people off getting a reading. And maybe there's certainly something fun in the rump reading because it's lighthearted to begin with. And I think if you really wanted to go and see a psychic or whatever and go down that route, you know, your first point of call isn't going to be the astrologist.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's a moment removed. It's a thought third down the line.
Yeah.
I like to think of us all living in, you know, sort of globes, covered globes, though. I think Nostradamus put it best when he said, one day... the tiny snow globe. This is not Nostradamus, by the way. Hang on, I'll just put it on loudspeaker.
One day, we'll all live in tiny snow globes.
1652.
Wow. Where did you get that recording from?
I've just got it here on my list of handy recordings. It's all in the book, in Dan's second book he has to write.
Yes.
He's yet to write.
I have to write now.
His second book is Rhys Darby's Book of Wisdom.
Oh. Yes. Oh, I could compile it. Yes.
Yeah. By That's Dan Schreiber. Illustrations by Buttons Kirkbeck.
I want to do the foreword.
Oh, yeah.
As long as we call it the backward.
I'll do the backwards forward.
Yeah.
I have to say, back to your point about friends coming with you in your next lives and what have you, there's two things with that. You know, when you meet somebody for the first time who then comes on to be a good friend and you think back to the first time you met them, quite often you kind of go, I feel I know this person already. Or you have an instant warmth.
Right.
Or you kind of like instantly go, man, it feels like we've been friends forever. And so there is, I do actually believe in that.
Well, Buttons, do you remember when you and I first met?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I did not get that feeling at all.
This is our first time. This is now next life. When we meet up at a little shitty nightclub.
See, this is another example of Buttons riding our coattails. He's not supposed to be part of our friend group that goes from life to life to life.
No, just latched on.
He just latches on because every time I'm hanging out with him, I'm still getting that cold feeling, you know, like I don't know if you're supposed to be my best buddy.
No, I am. Honestly, look, I've warmed up your horse.
I don't even like horse riding. I've never liked horses.
Yeah, neither have I.
In your next life, you're going to do a reading and they're going to be like, now look, there's a couple of people that you need to unfriend on Facebook. One of them is this guy Buttons. Honestly, he's going to come along. He's going to try and ride your coattails. He'll probably want to produce something and get right in there and take over. Unfriend him.
There's also a handsome young prince that you do not belong in his friend circle at all. No one does. But you're a very lucky man.
What I've got is
Is Buttons Baldrick to Reese's Blackadder?
Yes. Definitely.
Oh, I've never had such a compliment. Oh, my God. Dad, thank you. I'm blushing. Oh, wow.
Hey, not to dominate with the recaps here, but I do just want to quickly mention one other recap, which is to do with a story that I mentioned a while ago when I brought home a copy of an Aleister Crowley book.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Who's in the background?
Is that
your
mum? Mum, guys, this is my mummy. Come in, mum.
Hello, hey, mummy.
Mum, this is
hello.
You can't. What?
Have a shower first.
Oh, she's having a shower first, and then she'll come.
Okay, yeah,
say
cool.
Hello.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see you after that.
Get ready. Yeah, get ready for the audio podcast. So I came home with an Aleister Crowley book and I tried to get it into the house, but Fenella had banned it from the house. And so I gave it to my neighbors saying, Fenella won't allow this in the house because it's cursed, she thinks. And then they got so freaked out thinking that it was cursed that they put it in their shed, which is where it's been ever since. Yeah. So that's the story that I told on the show.
And why was it? And just quickly, why was it cursed and why were you scared of it?
Aleister Crowley is someone who was dealing in occult black magic, and I guess it feels like anything that might have these demonic words, you know, he supposedly, this book that I had, the Book of the Law, was dictated to him by an ancient civilization alien from another galaxy who was beaming the thoughts into him. So he took it down in the space of 48 hours, supposedly being dictated to by, I think, someone called Iowas or something like that.
Not the Arsula.
Possibly the Arsula.
Well, there you go.
So he sort of came up with it via automatic writing. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it was. So Fenella just thinks bringing a he was a bad person, and he was a bad person. She doesn't want that in the house, but she's translated that as having maybe bad juju that comes with it. So we gave it to the neighbors, and KP, our neighbor, sat up under her duvet the entire night because she was petrified of this book. So JP, her husband, came back and took it out to the shed. And so that's where it's been ever since. I've not taken it out or visited it yet. They've not touched it. So we were in Italy last week, and we get a message on our WhatsApp group from them, and it's from JP. So maybe Buttons, just a slight bit of scary, eerie
ominous
music underneath this.
Yes.
Yeah, ominous music. So he wrote, so I cleared out the shed today because tidying it seemed age appropriate to my nearly 40 years. All the usual rubbish was there, and I was literally cleaning the entire thing, taking everything out. It just occurred to me that at some point I should have seen Aleister Crowley's book, but it has literally vanished.
No.
Dan, are you sure you didn't give us a dissolving book to get another Cryptid Factor podcast episode out of us? And then KP wrote, I'm genuinely freaking out. And it's gone.
Oh, no.
They've gone back in to look for it. The book is gone. No one has been in there to take it out.
And nothing else is stolen.
Nothing else is stolen. Nothing is missing. But the book is gone.
Oh, that is
freaking
out.
Where is it gone?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And are they the type of people to not be just saying that just because they needed a bit of extra cash and they sold it? Just check eBay and make sure.
No. This is genuine.
That's what I'd do. I'd definitely sell it and say it
dissolved. That just gives more credence to the idea that it is a demonic entity and that it, you know, was of no use trapped in a shed. And so it fell back into its dimension to pop up somewhere else to do some effect somewhere else. So if I were you guys, I'd put out a lost book poster series around town or contact us on this number if you've got a photo of what the book looks like or have you seen this book?
Yes, that's a great idea.
That could be something worth doing because it may pop up somewhere else within your enclosed globe.
That's such a good idea. I genuinely want to do that. I think that's a really fun idea. I also, this garden more and more now is building up this kind of mythology for me because
this is where the cat,
it was in their garden next door that the cat massacre guy supposedly, so they found a headless cat in the garden.
I remember that. That was a horrific episode. Thanks for bringing that one back.
The Croydon cat killer.
Yeah.
The Croydon cat killer. And then they were telling me not long ago that they because they've recently done their whole garden up. So they dug out all the grass and relaid down grass. And when they were undigging it, they found like a doll, but like it looked like it'd been burnt, you know, like a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a sacrifice.
Like a voodoo doll.
Yeah, like something like that. Like they found like this doll just buried, but it was wooden and it was, you know, it looked like it'd been completely burnt. Yeah, and I don't know, it's a bit of a weird garden and it's just next door. And, you know, Crowley's book's gone missing.
The cat's
found headless. They find this crazy wooden doll that's been buried.
But also, have you also thought about the fact that Aleister Crowley's book could have wanted to go to that garden? Like the book coming to you.
Wow.
And then going to your neighbors because Fennell was too scared that maybe it knew that it needed to get to that garden because there's some entity that wanted the book. So it got there by using you guys as a vehicle of which to get there.
Whoa. I mean,
yeah, I would seriously get some energy readers, you know, the EMF device that records energy and just figure out whether this area that you're talking about could be a negative energy anomaly zone where, you know, paranormal things happen.
It could be like a mini Skinwalker Ranch.
Like, tiny Skinwalker.
Like a tiny
12-foot
by 15-foot Skinwalker patch.
Skinwalker
enclosed
backyard.
In kind of like a small globe. That's what we're looking at here. That zone. The Crowley zone.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, so that's, you know, I'll feed back once more comes up, but yeah. It's all very X-Files.
And what are we all going to say, guys?
That's a recap!
Hey, those good recaps. Really good recaps.
All right, those are all my recaps.
Okay, let's rock into the first segment because time is of the essence.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
So, what have we got, guys?
I got one here.
Yeah.
Okay, what you got?
Remember our old buddy Jetpack Man at the LA airport?
Oh, yes.
He's back.
No.
He's back. Another sighting. Now, I think we established that it turned out it was a sort of like a drone with a jetpack figure on it. Yeah, something like that. But we don't know what the new thing is, but it's back. It's been really seen again. Jetpack Man.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I've got one freaky one here. It's just bizarre, but it's scientific. Scientists have turned dead spiders into robot gripping claws.
Oh. Well, they couldn't find any metal or anything. What do we got? We're out of metal. Guys, what else have we got?
In this world, it's the reusable, you know, making use of things that we already have.
That just sounds like a MacGyver episode on steroids. Quick, I need to make a robot. What have I got to work with? A paperclip and some dead spiders. Let's go.
Well, look, can you stop unpacking my news article before it's ready to be printed and tell us what you've come up with?
Okay.
Or have you just been padding the entire time you've been raving on there?
You know me so well.
Your padding skills are so good.
So thank you.
But I can see through them. I'm in your globe.
I haven't got a snow globe. I've got like a fog globe that you shake and it just gets all foggy and you can't see anything.
Stop shaking your globe and tell us what your news is.
Okay, my one, alien caught on camera going through trash.
Oh, I love it.
That's actual video. We've got some actual video footage. And I have to say, it's actually pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay, look forward to seeing that. All right, you go first, Dan.
Okay, so this was reported in LA. So an airline pilot reported seeing something that resembled a person with a jetpack Thursday in the latest series of mysterious and similar sightings in the general vicinity of LA International Airport. So the pilot reported seeing the object 15 miles east of LAX And a quote from the FAA says, an airline pilot reported seeing an object that might have resembled a jetpack 15 miles east of the airport around 2:45 p.m. today. The FAA has worked closely with the FBI to investigate every reported jetpack sighting. So far, none of these sightings have been verified. One working theory is that the pilots might have just seen some balloons. So, similar sightings have been made. So of the original ones that we were talking about on the podcast, they're saying that an LAPD helicopter captured the images showing that the inflatable was a Jack Skellington from the Tim Burton movie.
Right, I remember
Nightmare
this.
Before Christmas, that's right.
So, yeah, when you're thinking of balloons, it's an actual figure, but it's an inflatable character that you get for Halloween, and
like
it's
a helium. Therefore
a helium balloon.
Yeah, so the working theory is maybe that has happened again and a human figure was seen, because that is what was spotted by the pilot. So yeah, so a jetpack of some sort has been seen again.
Okay, so in a nutshell, Dan's article is a balloon has been seen in the sky near the airport. Brilliant. Okay, let's rock on into mine.
Hang on.
Now,
these are pilots saw a jetpack, man.
What chapter is this in the Theory of Everything Else book?
October 13th, guys. You heard it here first.
So
the most strange, bizarre stories coming at you.
Just on Amazon, just taking that off my wish list now. It's pretty weak, actually. So it's...
I hope that's chapter one. Possible balloon sighting. They're back. No, that's cool. That's cool. When I first heard the balloon theory, it just totally made sense. I went, oh, yeah. Okay, so that it just seemed like a really viable option, because but before that, it was like, what are these things? Because there was so many, and that's not to say that it's definitely that, but it does lead you to sort of relax a little bit more on the idea of it, because the whole idea of someone actually being in a jetpack that close to the airport was just shocking behavior.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is there, other than just going, oh, yeah, it's probably a balloon. Now, this idea of reusing spiders, which I've got this from Nerdist, is quite bizarre. It's a step in what they're calling necrobotics, okay, which is basically the combination of corpses and robotics. You can imagine that it totally ties in with my intro of you guys finding my corpse and then
putting a robot skeleton on you. Oh my
turning
God.
Turning me into something that is of use, finally.
Oh my God. That is actually could be the plot for Weekend at Bernie's 3. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like literally a robotics
Weekend
engineer.
At Derby's.
Weekend at Derby's. We skin you and put a robot skeleton.
As long as I get to do the robot noises. You know, as long as I could move like that.
That's why nobody will suspect a thing. They'll just be like, Derby's been doing that stupid robot gag for like about 3 weeks now, and he hasn't eaten a thing. It's just people pour oil in his mouth. What is up with that guy?
So with these spiders, it happened at the engineering lab at Rice University. They came across a dead spider, okay, they as you do. They wondered why the legs are always curled up. Well, this was the first news. They'd come across a dead spider. This hit the headlines, as you can imagine. And then they had to have a follow-up. So it's like, well, let's do something with this dead thing. Now, as you know, all the legs on dead spiders all curl up like that. Have you ever seen that? You would have seen that.
Yeah,
and you wonder, why is that the case? That. When the students learned the mechanism involved, they hypothesized a way to manipulate it in a lab setting. So I've got a little audio clip here to play, the manipulation of the deceased spider in a lab.
We're referring to these as necrobotic grippers. We're calling it necrobotics because we're using these basically dead objects, dead spiders in this case.
We took the spider, we placed the needle in it, not knowing what was going to happen. We kind of had like an estimate of where we wanted to place the needle. And when we did it, it worked the first time, right off the bat, actually. And that was really like I don't even know how to describe it, that moment when you see it move.
What?
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. They've brought it back to life.
They're using it like one of those arcade claw games where you lower the...
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
It was like the... where you pick the stuffed toy.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Yeah.
So look at this video here.
Yeah.
Oh, so my goodness.
They use the spider.
That's...
And he's picked up... Yeah, see wow. how the legs are manipulated terrifying. Through the syringe.
That's insane.
It is insane. So basically, they've put a syringe into the point in the spider, and they are effectively using this dead spider as a robot in the fact that when they push the syringe, the legs all open up, like fully open up, and then when they retract the syringe, it all closes up and they can pick up objects with it.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that as a human, you just look at that motion of a spider going like that,
yeah,
and it gives you heebie-jeebies. It scares the shit. It's like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh,
yeah,
like terrifying.
Yeah, like a claw,
like it's attacking.
Yeah,
the kind of thing that you use in those arcade malls to try and win a little teddy bear, you know, and you grab the claw and you move it, and then it never picks anything up because the strength of the claw is not good enough.
Yeah,
they should use spiders. That's what they should use in those little.
But the companies will go bankrupt. That's the worst business model for the actual company.
Exactly. Little kids coming along going, I want to win a teddy bear. I don't want to win a teddy bear. I don't want to win a teddy bear.
Giant spiders, because I tell you what, the dead spiders. Necrobotic grippers are capable of lifting items that weigh more than 100 times their own body weight.
Wow.
If you got a tarantula, you could get it to pick up like an iPhone. You know those ones that go in and they've got all like a set of headphones, an iPhone, keys to a Lamborghini, whatever.
And not only, and if it does pick up the iPhone and it brings it over and you drop it into the slot and you win the iPhone, here's the shock. The spider, the giant tarantula that has lifted it, also drops down into the slot and instantly revives and comes alive. So when you go to grab the iPhone, there's a massive tarantula on your hand as well, and you're like,
insurance policy that you're not actually going to get the prize, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. 50% of the people will just drop the phone.
Exactly.
Now, you're frozen. Someone's frozen here. Is it me or you?
You froze. For me, you froze.
Oh, it says my internet connection is unstable. I've become unstable.
Uh-oh.
I can actually see it, guys. There's an actual crack. There's a crack in my enclosed globe.
Uh-oh. It's getting unstable.
I'm looking at it. Oh, God. I might have to just tape that up, actually. I can still see you guys in the globe.
Well, actually, what was that movie where the farmers were in those sort of protective globes and there were aliens outside and they had to all the time protect their farm from all these aliens that were crawling all over their farms? And they had these, basically exactly that, snow globes.
Under the Dome? Stephen King?
No, I think you're thinking of Nostradamus Has Done It Again. That came out in the late 80s.
The late 1680s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nostradamus Has Done It Again.
Done it again.
What a great film that was.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again, okay? I'm going to get the globes to come down. Here we go. Mark my words. Mark my words.
Oh, we're stuck in the globe. Hey, we can't get out of here.
Coming this fall, Nostradamus Has Done It Again.
What are we going to be doing with these spiders, I wonder?
Well, I think that they're more interested in the hydraulic system of that living creature, and that the more we look to nature, the more we solve the answers of where our mechanical technology is going.
True.
Everything we've ever designed that's been groundbreaking has been based on something from nature, whether it be planes, drones, boats. You know, we've, since the beginning of time, have reached into our dome and picked up living things.
Slow down. Let me capture this quick.
This is going in your second book.
This is the wisdom of Darby.
Since the beginning of time, we've reached out and picked up
living, growing thing that we can't identify, but the movement and feel is something that we want to manipulate and create ourselves and own ourselves and take credit for. So although we'd love to say we have, in life, nothing we've ever imagined truly comes from within us.
The Wisdom of Derby, out November 14th. In all good bookshops and online.
By Dan Schreiber, book 2. Backward by Buttons Kirkbeck. Give those undies back!
The Wisdom of Rhys Derby by Dan Schreiber.
Yeah!
Who's actually writing this?
He is! I haven't got time to write it. I'm doing more than enough work coming up with the wisdom.
Your wisdom is so deep. I'm getting some of this tattooed for sure.
Because you can't remember it.
Yeah, now, what did he say?
What did he say again? Let me just have a look at my forearm.
Where is it? There's one of them on here somewhere. They're everywhere.
Oh, here's the one I've got recently. Bathe twice a day.
Oh, is it this one? Buttons, get me a coffee, will you? Not that one.
Keep editing. Yeah, that's something you said to me recently. And
my bit of wisdom. Hey, guys, can I introduce to you Yolanda, the creator of
Yolanda.
Buttons? So cool.
Nice to see you.
Mum, this is everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
How do you mean everybody?
Well, it's Rhys and Dan.
Yeah.
But it's also all the Patreons as well. We were looking at this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, a whole bunch of people.
How are you?
This is the one who's responsible for all this greatness.
Yeah.
Wow.
You must be very proud.
It's an honor to be inside, or at least see the inner workings of the house that Leon was brought up in, and just to feel the energy of such a place is, I guess, an honor to us and anyone that's privileged enough to be listening and looking in at this point.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting him do the show here.
Yeah. Sorry, Rhys is currently writing a book on wisdom, so he's talking a bit weird at the moment.
He's trying to be wise.
He's trying to beat the Bible.
Yeah, he's trying to write the new Bible.
Yeah.
So, Leon's mum, do you believe that you're seeing the same people in your circle through each life that you participate in? Do you believe that would be true?
Yeah, that would be true.
There you go. You heard it here third. Because I did mention it before, and I think someone else came up with it before I raved on about it. But I think that solidified it.
I think that's a good title for the Rhys Derby Wisdom Book. You heard it here third. And it's just recycled philosophy and wisdom. We got it.
We got the title.
But third hand, so that it's like all the information is sort of, like whispers.
Yeah, it's slightly skew whiff. By the time I say it,
that sounds like something familiar and wise, but I can't quite pin it down.
He's got it slightly wrong the more he talks about it, but it's very entertaining. I don't care. It'll be Dan that gets all the flack. He's the author. He's the author.
Chris has nothing to do with it.
How long have you lived there, Yolanda?
Since 1974 in this particular house.
Wow, 48 years.
Yeah.
And Mum, tell us of the spirits and stuff in this house.
Oh.
There is definitely ghosts being seen in this house, isn't there?
Yeah, because I rented the house and some people who rented the house experienced things.
Really?
And they had it, one of the little girls. Yeah.
What little girls? His little girls or a little girl ghost?
No, little girls that lived here.
And then, but also Lisa, my sister, like one of your daughters, saw a ghost as well, right? See, she doesn't like talking. She doesn't like admitting it.
Well, it's scary if you live in the house that's haunted.
She lives here by herself.
Yeah, but obviously they weren't bad spirits. I mean, again, you might see something, but nothing untoward has happened. So clearly it's fine.
Yeah, it's a holy house. This house was the Methodist man's house.
And it was the house where the pastor lived and stuff. And they did sort of churchy things like, yeah, kept the bodies here before doing a funeral service.
Oh, really?
No. Right, right. Yes, giving the spirit long enough to get out,
wow,
and exactly, perhaps attach, exactly, themselves to the corridor for eternity.
Is that while you guys live there? Would you have, like, a new room buddy every so often, Buttons? Yeah. I'm just...
Oh, Mum, who's my new friend? Oh, that's old man Johnson.
Leon, I've just escaped from my body and I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here in the hallway if you want to go tinkles in the night. I can go through the globe enclosures. Do you want me to get something from another person's globe? Oh, I've got an idea, Leon. I can bring you through into a great globe. Mr. Darby's, have you heard of Rhys Darby? You can attach yourself to him in his life. Be part of his globe.
He's got long coattails. Jump on those coattails, Mr. Kirkbeck.
Jump on my old 18th century coattails and I'll take you through the globe.
I really want to know what's going through your mum's head right now. I imagine Leon's pitched this to you saying, you know, I've got to record a really serious podcast, Mum, later. I need the Wi-Fi code. I need to... This is his job. Now you've seen what he does for a living.
Yeah.
It feels like this is something that you would have done when you were 12.
He's in the room. He would have done it when you were 12.
When I was 12, I did actually make my own radio show in here. I had my cassette recorder and I
recorded radio. Awesome. Really?
Yeah. Back
what in was the show?
Oh, you know, just general interest. Top 1980s hits. Weather reports.
Right.
If I could only hear those tapes again.
Yeah, surely you've still got them.
I've got
That's
them.
Awesome.
Wow.
I was going to say, the room next door where I was sleeping last night, I am pretty sure I had an out-of-body experience when I was a little kid in the room next door. I remember floating out and up and looking down at the top of the washing line. And it's a really vivid memory of having this out-of-body experience floating up and out of my body and looking at my own body and floating out.
Are you sure it wasn't a balloon?
That could have been a balloon.
The scariest thing you could ever give a kid on his birthday.
That's a balloon of themselves ready to pop. It was really pretty full-on sensation. And then I suddenly thought, I had really bad asthma as a kid. Mm. And I suddenly thought maybe it was when I was having an asthma attack and potentially I died for a little while and actually did the old floating up and almost and then came back to life, you know, like had a little episode of near-death experience.
Yeah, possibly. How old were you?
About 6 or 7.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have even have thought that possible. So it wouldn't have even affected you mentally till now you're realizing, oh, hang on, I probably died there for a minute.
Had a quick little
when you're a kid, it's an impossibility, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's a charming thought. Now let's move on.
Well, what about my news? Can I finally show you my video of...
Yes, let's do that.
Alien going through trash.
It's quite a trope, isn't it? I was just thinking, I'm pretty sure Doc Brown goes through trash to find banana peels for his time machine, which is a kind of alien visitation, isn't it? You know, he's in the wrong place, the wrong time. You've got E.T. Wasn't he always scurrying through trash as well?
He was. He was going through trash. And
you sure?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, because that's how he found him first. He was sort of like...
Well, he was in the shed.
In the shed, yeah.
Yeah, not so much trash as junk, but he was in the shed. Mm. And then they rolled a little ball into the shed and then he rolled it back out again.
Oh, okay, I've got a mismemory of him going through trash cans looking for... things. Doctor Who uses trash occasionally to power stuff.
He goes through trash all the time.
Yeah.
And Doc Brown and Back to the Future.
But that was the first example I gave. That was literally the opening example. There was only
more proof he never really listens.
There's only one other example in between that, which is E.T.
And that was a dubious one. So your theory is really debunked.
That's when I tuned in. The first part, I was listening to a different podcast.
What are your 12-year-old radio shows?
radio show that I did myself. It's still, mate, it honestly has aged so well. It's still so on point.
Oh, good.
12-year-old Buns was genius.
So ahead of his time. He's only just coming into time now.
And he's out of time. No, it was a very brief window. He came in and then very out very quickly. Very quickly.
You had to be there, but if you weren't, God, it would have been amazing to just almost be there.
Okay, so this is simply just a TikTok video that's been shared by a news source.
All your stories are TikTok these days. Time travelers who post on TikTok.
And I don't even have a TikTok account, so I don't even know. I don't even. How is this TikTok happening? I don't know.
But you know who would have? Your 12-year-old self would have a TikTok account.
Definitely. He'd be big on TikTok. Wow.
So he's still coming through. He's going, my time. It's my time now. I would be on TikTok. Oi, future buttons.
Get on TikTok for me. Oh, yeah. Too late. All over. So I don't even know where this video is from. I'm going to share it. It's from a website called Exemplar. And it is basically just sharing a TikTok video of a family that has heard something going through the trash. And it's one of those annoying ones where they've written on the screen on their TikTok and the robot voice reads out what they say. So let's have a listen to this.
My wife was hearing things fall over in the backyard while I was at work and went to check, and she caught this on video. WTF is that?
Wait there. That's very nice.
Oh, yeah.
And watch this.
Oh.
Classic grey alien, big eyes. You know.
WTF is this?
Yeah.
So, and it feels very legit that the woman with filming the video is very much sort of peeking around the corner filming and saying, hello, who's there? Almost like she's trying to capture someone doing something like for the police or what have you. Mm. And for those listening, there's a shadowy figure. You see a couple of glowing eyes looking back at her, and it's popping up its head over the trash bin compartment, looking up and over, and then it sort of ducks down. And then enhancing the footage, you definitely see some alien-like eyes. And it's exciting because, you know, we haven't had a good alien caught on video for a while.
The believable part of it for me is the speed in which it ducks down, because that is faster than a human could go down. And that's the only part that I think, oh yeah, this is not just a mask, because you know you can get those alien masks easily, especially in the States.
Yeah,
you could have a kid out there being real quick, I guess. But it looks, there's definitely a believability factor to it based on the movement.
Yeah, and her filming. But then again, this is the thing with TikTok. I mean, I don't really quite understand it because I'm not actually on it. But you're trying to get your little viral videos going, aren't you? So it's like, you know, if you're sitting there creatively trying to think, how do we make a little video get viral and get onto the cryptid factor?
Which is what they're all thinking.
He'll fall for this one, the bloody idiot.
No, he'd be right.
He'd be right. Let's see if we can get 12-year-old Buttons to share this video, because honestly, it's right down his alley. Right down his alley. Anyway, so it's worthwhile going and having a look for. The TikTok is, I can't tell the name of that.
I wouldn't even promote them. I mean, the fans will find if they want to find that. Yeah. And I think that's the argument against it, is that people on TikTok are trying to get follows, etc. And then it comes down to how believable is it? And you can really pull apart the movements of not only the figure, but also the camera person, and how legit does it seem, or does it feel like it's orchestrated? Mm-hmm. So out of that one, I would give, out of five, I'd give it 3.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Just because it had to be enhanced to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's obviously either a lot of thought gone into that, or it's real.
That's actually a really good point, that if you were faking it, why would you film it so badly that you had to enhance it? Well, maybe that's exactly what you would do.
Well, it makes it even more real, yeah.
The question is then, from this point on, everybody says, why hasn't Bigfoot, or why haven't aliens, or why haven't UFOs been captured on camera now, because everybody's got a camera?
At what point now do we say we can't believe anything that is captured on camera from now on, as far as, you know, the old classic old blurry image or, you know, enhanced footage?
Yeah, all right, I've got to go.
You're not going to get there in time at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts you got to go?
I've got to go to Qumu.
Oh, for sword fighting.
Qumu.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to have to go, guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine.
Why don't you call us back from the car?
You can't drive and pod. That's illegal.
No, I'm going to I'm gonna get going, but you guys kind of wrap it up, and I could possibly come back online after this, maybe this afternoon or something, Leon, to wrap up my side of things. I'll do a delayed wrap-up.
Delayed wrap-up.
Okay, so this is Reece signing off for now, and I'll be back. I'm just going to go and do some other things in my globe, just in the other corner of it, and I shall return later. But lovely chatting with you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good
and
one.
I'll see you at the other end.
Can't wait to hear your wrap-up.
Oh, I'm so sorry, excited. But the fans will love to know that I've got this is OFMD training stuff, so it's costuming and things like that. Cool. So it's important, and it'll get people excited because it's on, baby. Okay, talk soon.
All right,
okay, talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. I'm so glad we got rid of him.
Oh my goodness,
man! Just exhausting.
Doesn't get balloons. Doesn't get jetpack balloons.
I know. Now let's talk about really your second book. Wisdom of Buttons.
Oh, I've.
So
what's that?
You know, let's.
Oh, I've got to go submarine driving training. Damn it. What?
Submarine driving training.
Sorry, Buttons. But yeah, what's now?
Well, hang on. I've got some important stuff to do too. I've got to go have a cup of coffee with my mum. So she's, what's that, mum? Oh, yep, she's frothed the milk. Oh, she's even got some biscuits. So
it's Periscope course today. That's an important course.
Sorry, what? Cappuccino. So mum's making a cappuccino. So
Left eye only. That's because I did right eye last week. I passed that one, didn't I?
Wow, dude.
Damn it, I'd so love to go on. I got to write Reese's book. You heard it here third.
Mark my words, mark my words.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.